Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our series of programs in the Book of Job entitled, Is God Guilty as Charged? In our previous program, we saw that Satan the devil brought an accusation against God, and the accusation is that God is inherently worthless and therefore pays for worship. We have to ask ourselves the question, is God guilty as charged? You are the jury, you are the judge, you have to make that decision. Is God guilty as charged? So Satan made this accusation against God, and now Satan prepares to submit his evidence to prove that God is paying for his worship, and that all of the people who worship God only worship God because of what's in it for them, because there's some kind of profit motive, that we benefit from serving God, and that's why we serve God. But as soon as God takes away the benefits, we'll curse God to his face. That's what Satan is saying. So he prepares to submit his evidence to prove that. Now he submits his evidence by confidently going out to devour all of Job's children and all of Job's possessions. You remember that Satan is called a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. And that's in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, where you can find that description of Satan the devil, that he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Again, that's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And God told Satan that he could go forth and devour Job, except for he could not lay his hand upon Job. But God said, you can take away his house. You can take away all of his livestock. You can even take away his family, and let's see what's going to happen. That's how much confidence God has in Job, that Job is not going to curse God to his face. And that's a lot of confidence. But Satan also has a lot of confidence. So as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he looks at Job and says, Job is a scrawny little punk. I'm going to tear him apart. And so this is the evidence that he's submitting. We can see this in Job chapter 1 and verse 2. In Job chapter 1 verse 2, it says here that Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very great household, so that he was the greatest of all of the people in the east. A day came, and this is now dropping down to verse 13 of Job chapter 1, verse 13. A day came when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell on them and took them away. Yes, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only have escaped alone to tell you. That's a horrible thing. But the trial didn't stop there. While he was yet speaking, there also came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from the heavens and burned up the sheep and the servants and destroyed them. And I only have escaped alone to tell you. Man, two tragedies back to back. That's enough to break anybody's back. But it wasn't over. In verse 17 it says, while the second person was still speaking, a third person came and said, the Chaldeans made out 3 bands and swooped down upon the camels and have carried them away. Yes, and they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and only I have escaped alone to tell you. Man, oh man, when it rains, it pours. 3 horrible things have happened back to back to back. How much more can a person stand? Unfortunately, it still wasn't over. Satan wasn't finished yet. When Satan gets a hold of somebody, man, can he do a whacked up job. He was whacking Job left and right. And so now a fourth person comes. This is in verse 18. While this third person was still speaking, a fourth person came and said, Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came from the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And only I have escaped alone to tell you." Whew, man, what a heavy burden. Any of these four tragedies could cause the average God-fearing person to curse God to his face. Satan said, if you snatch away all that he has, if you take away all of the health and wealth that he has, he's going to curse you to your face. And I'm telling you, I mean, if you went through these four things, how would you react? If I went through these four things back to back to back, how would I react? And Job suffered from all four in a very short period of time. First, some of Job's servants were killed, and his cows and donkeys were stolen. Second, more servants were killed, and his sheep were killed. Third, the rest of his servants were killed, and his camels were stolen. This represented the loss of all of Job's possessions. But the worst was yet to come. Fourth, all of Job's seven children died when a house collapsed on them. Satan did a great job of devouring Job's family and possessions. With Satan's evidence submitted, we await Job's testimony. Did Job curse God to his face? Well, let's read in Job chapter 1 and verse 20 through 22. This is Job chapter 1 and verses 20 through 22. "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, saying, 'Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. When put on the witness stand, Job testified against Satan. Instead of cursing God, Job blessed God. Listen again to Job's testimony. "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped." Job worshipped God in spite of these horrific trials. Job worshipped God. Now, when he worshipped God, this is how he worshipped God. He said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And that word blessed is key. He's worshiping God, and he's saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then God says of him, "In all this Job did not sin, nor charge God foolishly." What a wonderful testimony Job gave on behalf of God. And that would be a wonderful ending to the story, right? Right. Unfortunately, that's not the end of the story. It's only the end of chapter 1. And Satan has some more evidence to submit. Before we hear more of Satan's evidence, let's really analyze the evidence already submitted. Remember, you're the jury, so you really need to understand this case. Did you know that in the book of Job, the word curse and the word blessed come from the same Hebrew word? The Hebrew word is Barak, that's spelled B-A-R-A-K. And this means either to kneel down in praise and adoration or to blaspheme by committing treason. This is very interesting, isn't it? In other places in the Bible, the word curse is translated from other Hebrew words, but in the book of Job, the word curse is translated from the Hebrew word Barak. Just like the English word blessed is translated from the Hebrew word Barak. Now, why is that? What does God want us to learn from this? I'll give you a clue. It has everything to do with Satan's accusation against God. Remember that Satan said, if you snatch away all that Job has, he will curse you to your face. Instead of cursing God to his face when Satan did snatch away all that Job had, Job blessed God. He blessed God to his face. He didn't curse God to his face. He blessed God to his face. Job's testimony is this. Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed, Barak, blessed be the name of the Lord. So God is teaching us something here by using this Hebrew word Barak, which on the one hand can mean to blaspheme by committing treason, and this is when it's translated as curse. But on the other hand, it can mean to kneel down in praise and adoration, like it does when the word is used blessed. So why is God using this word Barak for blessing and cursing at the same time? Well, that's what we're going to find out in our next program. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, What is the Mark of the Beast? The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.